This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Joy says, welcome to another edition of Joy's very own show about pets. It is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home. My name's Kev, and I'm joined in the studio this week by a senior veterinarian from the Lost Dogs Home, Frank Sanway's Veterinary Clinic, Dr. Alan Bolton.
Hello.
Thank you for joining me in the studio today, Alan. It's a very busy week at the Lost Dogs Home.
It has been a very, very, very busy week. The week before Christmas.
It's the week before Christmas, so for many of you, including myself, your holidays are kicking off within just a few hours.
That's right. You may have your car packed, ready to head off on a camping trip as soon as the clock strikes five, while some of you may be staycationing this festive season. This week, we continue our summer special series to help you keep your pets merry this time of the year.
Coming up on the program today, we have quite a lot to talk about, don't we, Alan?
We have quite a bit.
Now, fires have been burning in central and north Victoria since earlier this week, so we're going to revisit a chat that we had with the CFA Education Officer, Alyssa Bourne, on pet safety during bushfires.
And heat stress in pets can be fatal, so it's important to know what the warning signs are and what to do in the event of an emergency. I'll be talking you through all you need to know to protect your pets.
And briefly, we're going to look at tips on holidaying without your pets and also some potential Christmas hazards that may be lurking around your house. There's so much to get through on the program today.
Hey, this is Ricky Lee on Joy 94.9, wishing you all a very Merry Christmas and a beautiful New Year.
The Pets Allowed News Wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
It is time to recap the news and events of the last week at the Lost Dogs Home. And it has been quite a busy time. It's also been quite a busy year at the Lost Dogs Home, Alan. This year, 2014, it's almost over. And look, this week we also did a big thank you to our finishing school tutors. So finishing school kicked off sort of halfway through the year this year. And just like schools have tutors to give extra special attention and guidance, the dogs in our finishing school program have their very own doggy tutors. Most of these have been long-term volunteers with the home and been involved with several projects over the years. Others have been with us for just a few months. Regardless, they all share the same enthusiasm. They turn up rain, hail, or shine, and devote a large portion of their weekend to our dogs. So on behalf of all the dogs, our tutors have helped prepare for adoption, we wanted to say a big thank you. You can check out the video that we made on our website at dogshome.com or on Facebook as well. And yeah, there's some awesome stuff in there about just how awesome the tutors are and of a lot of different dogs that they've helped as well. Now, Alan, we've also put a couple of fact sheets up on our website.
That's right. We know it's the time of year when a lot of us head off on holiday, and some of us can take our pets with us, but others, you know, for whatever reason, have to leave them at home or with someone to look after them. So we've put together this really useful fact sheet that covers all sorts of tips that you need to consider if you've got a pet, you know, if you're looking for a pet sitter, or if you've got family or friends looking after your pets, or just someone calling in to check on them, or even if they're going into kennels. So it's got all sorts of really useful information, and you can read it all on our website at dogshome.com.
We'll have a lot more fact sheets coming out throughout the week as well, so make sure you keep an eye on them. Now, Alan, as every week, we like to feature a dog or cat in our very special
this week's Pet of the Week.
Who do we have this week?
This week we have Ben, and we don't get many of these. Ben apparently is a Yug Terrier, which is a little German hunting terrier.
A Yug Terrier?
Yug Terrier.
Okay.
He's confident, strong-willed, loyal, and busy, so like most of the terriers we see most of the time. He needs a home with a highly responsible owner who will ensure that he's kept safely. So obviously these terriers are bred for hunting, and typically of many terriers, he would be best suited to an active home where he'll be included in daily activities with excellent fencing, because he's fairly adventurous little chap, and it would be a good idea if his new owners did not have chickens, rabbits, or cats, because he's bred for chasing things. He will make a loyal companion, and he will thrive on training to keep his mind active and busy. And again, he's best suited to a home without small children. He is male. He is black and tan. He's about 5.5, 6 years old. And like all our animals, he is desexed, microchipped, vaccinated, wormed, and health checked. He's at North Melbourne, and his number is 981025. So you can see him online if you want to see what a Yug Terrier
looks like. You can check him out on dogshome.com. He's actually been in our shelves for a little while, so he's waiting for his perfect home. Now, if you are thinking of maybe adopting, but not sure that a dog is right for you, but you're interested in getting a cat, Alan, we have a very special promotion going on at the moment at our North Melbourne and Echuca shelters. We're going to chill out with a cool cat promotion.
Yes.
So this is a half-price adoption promotion for adult cats over 6 months of age. It's currently running until December 31st. And yeah, adult cats over 6 months are half the usual adoption fee. Now, they are vaccinated, microchipped, wormed, health checked, de-sexed, all the stuff you're talking about, Alan. And we have plenty of them looking for a new home at the moment, don't we?
At this time of year, we always have lots of cats. So if you are in the market, please come down and check them out.
Yeah, and they're all great. We've got lots of different types of cats as well, lots of different colours, males, females, everything ready for adoption. You can check them all out on our website at dogshome.com, or come down to our North Melbourne shelter, or even if you're heading up to maybe Camp Pasby or Echuca for, you know, maybe a bit of a Christmas holiday, you can go check them out up there as well. You also need to complete your pet licence test to get access to that half price adoption fee, which you can check out on our website as well. And if you are renting, make sure that you have permission from your landlord to own a pet. Coming up, we're going to be hearing our interview from earlier in the year with CFA Education Officer Elisa Byrne, all about the importance of pet safety during bushfires. You're on Pets Lab with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. And unfortunately, bushfires have started again. Parts of central and northern Victoria are feeling the heat.
Now, we know fires not only impact regional and rural residents, but as we saw last year, grass fires can also come very close to suburbia. We're now going to revisit an interview Oz did with CFA Community Education Coordinator Elisa Byrne, who starts off here by telling us that everyone should have some kind of bushfire safety plan for their pets.
Well, pretty much anybody living in a high-risk area, or anyone living along the coast, anyone with grassland that might come straight up to their property, or anyone living in the bush. So pretty much everyone in Victoria needs some form of bushfire survival plan.
And so how would you suggest these residents in these particular locations incorporate their pets into their fire safety plan?
Well, it's about actually making sure they have a separate plan for their pet. So it's not as easy as just throwing the cat in the back of the car and taking off. Preparation needs to be done beforehand, and things have to be put into place. So things like making sure the pet carrier is not in the shed, it's at the front door, that you've got food, you've got water, you've got your pet medication if needed, toys, blankets. Having all those things ready to go before the fire even arrives, and just making sure that you do factor your pets into your own bushfire survival plan.
Now, we know, particularly in these regional areas, pets don't just consist of cats and dogs. People consider their horses as their pets, some goats as their pets. How should people incorporate these different kinds of large pets that aren't so necessarily easy to move around and evacuate?
Look, it is a good question. I might have two horses myself, and sheep and goats and chooks, and sometimes it actually comes down to the hard question of you can't physically take all of your animals with you. So sometimes hard decisions need to be made about what animals you will actually have the capacity to move or to take with you or to relocate. And those things just need to happen early on. So if you have a two-horse float and you have five horses and you know it's going to be a bad day on Saturday, you might need to start relocating those horses early on. So you need to just incorporate that into your plan, that it will take you longer to move five horses or to move five sheep or things like that. So they're the things you have to incorporate into your plan.
You have to kind of assess it case by case.
Very much so. And that's why we'd love to be able to say, here's a one we prepared earlier, a template for your pet. But everybody has different needs. Pets are different. People are different. Some people don't have the capacity to move animals. Some animals cannot be moved. Some animals aren't great in the car. So sometimes you just can't physically take all of your animals with you. So it's very much dependent on your circumstances. And it's all about making sure you're safe. So you and your family's safety is what's paramount. And unfortunately, the animals come second. And I know that's hard to say because we all love our pets. So it's just about what you have the capacity to do. It might come down to how many children you have, how much spare space you have in the car. Those are the sorts of things you have to think about before, well before the fire arrives.
Now, you're a pet owner yourself. You have a cat.
I do.
And you have a plan for your cat as well. Can you take us briefly through it?
Sure. Well, we've got a little domestic short hair called Elliot, and he's the pride of our family. We all adore him, especially the children. So we have to make sure that he's well looked after on a day. So my plan is to leave when the fire danger rating is extreme or code red, pack at the front door with all of our other bits and pieces, and that just consists of his cat cage, food, water, his records for vaccination, and also making sure that he's microchipped and permanently identified. The National Pet Registry provides free identification for cats and dogs, and that's really important to make sure that they're permanently identified or microchipped. And on those days, he'll come to work with me, or if it's going to be an extended period of hot weather and I'll be busy at work, he will be put into a local cattery, which we've already had conversations with about being there on a casual basis. So that's basically Elliot's plan for summer.
It's well in advance and it's quite thorough, and you've actually sort of sourced out contacts well in advance so that leaving it to the last minute.
That's right. I mean, trying to find the cat cage, like during the winter months, I think the cat cage lives in the shed somewhere. So just the time it would take for me to get to the shed, find the cat cage, find his records, get it all together, find him, put him in, make sure he's got his collar on, make sure he's got a spare lead, all those things, that's going to take me time, and it might be time I don't have and time I should be spending on other things. And it's also really important that I have that plan in place and involve the kids so they know that Elliot's going to be safe and he's going to be taken care of, because kids are really emotionally attached to pets just like we are. And I think it puts my kids' mind at ease to know that Elliot's got his pack at the door, he's ready to go, and he's going to be safe in case there's a fire.
It was a CFA Community Education Coordinator, Alyssa Byrne. Now, these fires have been contained at the moment, but there is always a risk when the weather warms up a bit more, isn't there, Ellen? Look, there are some useful resources. You can find the CFA's fact sheet on bushfires and their pets on their website, which is cfa.vic.gov.au.
Fire danger rating with the four-day forecast can be found at www.cfa.org.au. Find warnings and restrictions in the top bar, and then total fire bans and ratings in the sidebar.
Now, CFA also have a handy app with all current warnings, which can be downloaded also at cfa.vic.gov.au. It's good to have to monitor weather as well and bushfires before and during your holidays, because you may be in an impacted area.
Residents in a bushfire region can find out when and where the latest meeting will be held by searching bushfire preparation meeting on cfa.vic.gov.au.
We are going to put all of these links on our Joy program page at joy.org.au. Coming up, Alan is going to take us through what heat stress is and the most common reasons for it as well.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Before you head to the beach or the park to enjoy the warm weather, we'd like to remind you to look out for the health and well-being of your coated and feathered companions. Like us, our pets feel the heat, if not more, because they often have a furry or feathered coat. However, they cannot remove a layer or two when the mercury rises, which means we need to look out for them, don't we, Alan?
We do. We need to take care.
Now, of course, having Dr. Alan Bolden, Senior Veterinarian, in here with me today means I get to throw a whole bunch of questions at him, and you can ask him a question as well if you want, or you can just let us know what you've been doing or what you're going to be doing for Christmas with your pets. All right, Alan, first question, what is heat stress and what is heat stroke?
So heat stress is a pretty serious condition caused by significant elevations in body temperature, and then that escalates to heat stroke, which actually can lead to death. Pets are not as efficient at releasing heat as we are, so they tend to heat up faster than we are. They don't sweat, so dogs especially have to cool down by panting. And if anything interferes with their ability to cool down, obviously that's really serious. So it's crucial that we maintain vigilance and know the key signs of heat stress and what to do if it happens, it becomes an emergency.
How does a cat cool down?
Cats pant as well, but cats tend to be more behavioural, so cats sort of seek cooler areas, really. But a very stressed, warm cat will pant as well.
Ah.
And their feet sweat.
So dogs do the same with their feet sweat as well. So cats, I didn't know they panted as well. That's interesting.
And actually, if you see a cat panting, it means it's
generally an issue. Yeah. So if you see a cat panting, you should probably take it to the vet. That's right. So, Alan, what about heat exhaustion?
Heat exhaustion is more kind of, I suppose, if you equate that more to people who run marathons mm-hmm. is when they exercise and exercise and exercise, often in hot days, and then they just kind of overheat and collapse. So we don't tend to see it very often, but if we do, it's generally sort of working dogs, you know, so
who just keep going,
just keep going and keep going. As you know, you've got a border collie,
yes.
and you can throw a ball until
she does. Yeah.
The cows come home.
Yeah. So that's kind of important in that kind of thing to make sure they're getting walks before the heat of the day and after the heat
that's
of
right.
the day.
That's right. So early in the morning and sort of after dusk, I guess.
Yeah, and just making sure they're not working too hard during the warmer weather. So do you see many cases at Frank Samuels Veterinary Clinic or any of our shelter hospitals at all?
We do. I mean, we see both private cases where, you know, people bring in their animals and they've been left somewhere warm or, you know, just it's happened. But we quite often see, well, we get quite a lot of stray dogs coming in because obviously they've been stray dogs out on the street. They get lost. They don't have access to water. They tend to panic. So they're often running around on hot days. And when they come in, they can be pretty distressed and we have to cool them down.
And what age groups or breeds do you see more likely?
It tends to be either young puppies or older dogs just because, again, they can't cool themselves so efficiently. And certain breeds, so brachycephalic breeds, which are short-nosed breeds, so things like bulldogs and pugs, again, their airways are probably, they're not very efficient, and so they don't cool themselves down very well. And overweight animals, old animals, like we say, or animals with heart and lung disease.
Okay, so it's quite a different sort of spectrum of animals, I guess.
Yes, but anything, you know, it can happen to anything.
So one of the common things that we see, especially around hot weather, is people leaving their pets in their cars. So, you know, we do see studies where it shows that the temperature in a car can sort of reach really high temps just very quickly. It still happens, Alan. Why is it so dangerous for people to leave their pets?
I don't know why it still happens because, you know, we talk about it quite a lot. You should never, ever leave your pet unattended in a vehicle. I guess people think, oh, it's only going to be a minute, but sometimes things happen and you don't get back, you know, in the minute that you think you were going to. It's just really important that you don't do it.
Yeah, and I guess one question for you would be, when an animal comes in and they've been left in a hot car, how does that animal actually come out? Do you get people, like, should people break windows? Should they call the police? Should they call the council?
Call the police.
Yeah.
Call the police 000 and they should be there to help as soon as they can get there.
And when an animal comes into the shelter or the vet clinic, what is the process for actually cooling them down?
So it depends. So initially we'll take their temperature so that we know what the starting point is. Then there are various ways of cooling them down. We generally put them on IV fluids and we can cool the fluids. So that's get some cooling straight into the center. We will wet them. So we can wrap them in damp towels. That helps cool them down. Often it sounds a bit weird, but often we will spray their feet and their ears with alcohol because alcohol evaporates very quickly and absorbs lots of that heat energy. I suppose what you don't want to do ever is you don't throw them into a cold bath.
Yeah.
Because if you do,
it's shock
and you actually constrict down all the blood vessels in the periphery and so you restrict blood flow to the skin and so there's less ability to cool down the core.
Yeah, so it needs to be, it's a slow process basically.
Yeah, so it's a controlled process.
Very interesting to hear. So, you know, if you do see an animal that is in heat stress, the best thing would be to get them down to your vet as soon as possible.
Get them down to a vet as soon as possible. Like I say, perhaps get a damp towel and wrap them in that while you take them there.
Yeah.
And get a fan on them, get some air moving around them. And yes, take them to the vet.
Coming up, we're going to be looking at what are some of the signs of heat stress and how exactly you can get how you can look at an animal and see whether or not they are sort of suffering at that time. This is Pets Lab, the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. It is my last show of the year, Alan, because I will be in Adelaide next week.
I'll be here next week.
You will be here. Oz will be here as well. We're looking at some Pets Lab flashbacks from over the last year, some of the highlights of the Lost Dogs Home for 2014.
Should be fun.
Should be a fun show. Now, Alan, just before we were
talking about heat stress and heat exhaustion, and we just wanted to sort of give people an idea of what these kind of things look like, so that if they do see an animal and they think, oh, maybe is that dog or cat a bit stressed? Yep. Yeah, we're going to look at that. So knowing the signs of heat stress is crucial for early diagnosis and treatments. So Alan, there is 7 symptoms, and if your pet exhibits any of these, they should be taken to their vet or nearest animal hospital. So what are they?
So the first one, I guess, is just constant uncontrollable panting, because that's the way they cool down, and obviously they're trying as hard as they can to cool down. They'll often be salivating excessively, dry nose and gums, and then sort of, I suppose, it's shaking, because they're often really quite distressed, and that progresses to sort of weakness and lethargy. Often they're quite vocal as well. They'll be whining because obviously they're distressed, but the main thing is the panting and salivating.
Okay, so excessive, because I mean, my dogs pant when it's hot.
Yeah, yeah, but you can, you know, they're going like a train. They're
yeah, so you can tell the difference between sort of excessive panting. And it's important in those kind of things to make sure they have access to water as well.
Yep, so make sure they have access to water, wrap them in a damp towel, and get them to a vet.
So we talked about heat stress, like extreme cases. Is there any other signs we should be on the lookout if it's an extreme case?
If it's really extreme, look, in the most extreme cases, it leads to death, and I suppose before death, we tend... If you see a dog with a really dark purpley-blue tongue, I mean, that means it's in a pretty bad way. Often then they'll start vomiting, they'll have seizures, and unfortunately, in the end, they can die from it.
So it is actually quite a serious thing we should be on the lookout for. So, Alan, what should pet owners do in the event of heat stress or heat stroke for their pets?
So, if your pet's showing any of those signs, it's really important that you seek immediate veterinary advice. It's if you're outdoors or in the sun, obviously you should move your pet into the shade, wrap them in a damp towel. If you can fan them, that's great. Like I said earlier, we don't want to give them a cold bath or a shower, because it's important that we want to cool them down in a controlled manner.
So, it's just all about making sure that they head off to the vet to basically cool down slowly.
Yes, so in a controlled way.
So it's quite dangerous, obviously, if they're cooling down too quickly. Yes. So that's some important things. If you did miss that, we'll also be putting some information online about heat stress and pets on our website at dogshome.com, also on our Facebook page as well. Just search for The Lost Dogs Home. Coming up, Alan and I are going to be taking you through some ideas to keep your pets cool this summer. This is Pets Allowed with Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Hey, we're Shepherd.
You're listening to Australia's gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Kevin and Alan in studio. We've got a few more things to talk about. We are talking all about summer and Joy 94.9 at the moment. So all throughout the program, we're talking about heat stress and your pets. So Alan, could you please quickly recap the signs of heat stress for us?
Panting, uncontrollable panting, salivating, whining, shaking, being visibly distressed.
Thank you very much. So there's a number of things that you should look out for, and if your pet does sort of have any of those, make sure you get them down to the vet, because they might be a bit too hot at the moment. But there are also a number of effective methods that you can use to keep your pet happy and healthy during the warmer months. Alan, your pets are a bit spoiled when it comes to the warmer months, aren't they?
Well, they stay indoors in the air conditioning.
Oh, lucky dogs.
Which is new, actually. We didn't have it until last year.
Oh, brand new air conditioning.
That's right.
And they're already reaping the benefits for it. This first tip actually is one that I do. It's a paddling pool. So we've got a little one of those shell pools that I just got from somewhere like Bunnings or Kmart, wherever, and it's filled up with a little bit of water. The dogs love it in the backyard, because what they do is often we keep it in the shade. Often they just go and stand in it, because as you were saying before, they sort of lose heat through their pads of their feet as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they just go and stand with it and cool down.
And Hector is obsessed with running water, like lots of dogs. So he loves playing with the hose, which is another good way of cooling them down.
For cats and senior pets, why not try a spray bottle or patting them down with a damp towel?
So I always ensure that there's plenty of access to cool, clean drinking water. Use more than one bowl or bucket if you have a large dog, because they might knock it over. Large ice blocks placed in water containers will also help keep the water cool.
Yeah, if it's going to be a particularly hot day that day, just make sure you put some ice in before you leave the house and make sure their water bowls are all fresh and everything like that. You can also make some popsicles, so some icy treats for your pets. Just add your dog or cat's favorite treats to a plastic bowl, fill it up with water, and freeze once it's frozen. Just slip out the icy treat and provide the pet with entertainment as well, because it'll take them a while to get down to the treats and it'll keep them cool at the same time.
And if you have older pets, or if they're just unwell, try and stay at home to keep an eye on them, or perhaps get someone to check on them.
So for those pets that are outside during the day, ensure that they have easy access to shade and water throughout the entire day.
Be aware of the movement of the sun, particularly during the hours that you're not at home, and make sure that their housing is in constant shade.
So yeah, that's sort of where their kennel is, to make sure that their kennel is not getting boiling hot. If you're going to be taking them out for a walk, make sure it's early in the morning or late in the evening, and be mindful not to over-exercise, overweight or senior dogs, and seek advice from your vet should you have any concerns regarding diet or exercise over the warm months.
Just remember that dogs will often dig in the garden to find cool soil to cool themselves down, so don't be upset if you find some holes in the yard.
Yeah, my dogs do that. They dig a big hole and they sit in it.
It's like sand baths.
Yeah, exactly. Huskies do it as well, because they do it in the snow. If your pet is staying indoors on an extremely hot day, which is a very good idea, make sure you keep the air conditioning and fan on, or provide access to the cooler areas of your home. So usually this will be the kitchen, bathroom or laundry, and especially if you've got tiles, because they like to lie flat on the tiles to keep cool.
Very young, elderly, overweight or brachycephalic breeds will benefit the most from being brought indoors, just because they tend not to cope well with heat, and they can, you know, they can get stressed quickly.
Now, we're not just talking about cats and dogs, but also think about our little friends as well. So with rabbits, guinea pigs and birds, they often find it hard to cool down and are highly susceptible to heat exposure as well. So smaller pets will enjoy being cooled down with maybe a spray bottle or a dampened towel. On extreme weather days, if possible, move them inside to an air-conditioned house, but not directly in front of the air conditioner. What you could also do is get sort of a 600ml bottle of water and fill that up with water, put it in the freezer, freeze it, and then wrap a towel around it and put it in their cage with them, so they have something to lie against. Ooh, as well. Yes. Now, Alan, do you want to recap our top tips?
Never leave your pet unattended in a vehicle. Always provide cool and clean water and ample shade. Do not overexert or overexercise your pet during warm weather. Keep an eye out on the weather. And in case of an emergency, keep an easy access directory of your vet and closest animal hospital.
So make sure you have those contact details. Now look, it is Christmas time. So coming up, we're going to be looking at some Christmas hazards for your pets, some potential ones that are around the house. And we'll have our dog dates very soon as well. Now, Alan, 'tis the season. It is Christmas time, and with Christmas comes some hazards for our pets that often we don't think about. So Christmas decorations are one. I have a friend that has a cat that likes to knock down the Christmas tree.
Yes, it's not a very good idea.
No. So I guess you've got to look at things like, I don't know if you've ever seen this over the course of your career working in as a vet, but tinsel, baubles and ribbon that could be quite dangerous for our pets.
That's right, especially tinsel. It can cause all sorts of problems, so make sure it's out of reach. I guess the next thing is, don't share Christmas lunch or human treats with pets. Foods such as cooked bones, chocolate and onions aren't really good for them.
So yeah, make sure, and yeah, they're not getting too much fat as well from the Christmas lunch. So best to give them their own special Christmas treat. You can get a lot of different ones down from a lot of the pet stores now. They've got
all sorts of
lots of Christmas treats. Summer is also breeding season, Alan. It's warmer weather, so we should be ensuring that our pets are de-sexed as well.
That's right. Do it now if they aren't already. Please make sure all your vaccinations are up to date. Certainly, you know, you'll need them up to date if your cat is going into a cattery or your dog's going into a kennel. And it, not just your own animal, but vaccinations help keep disease in the community at large at bay.
Ticks and fleas are most common during summer months as well, so please ensure that all their prevention is up to date and that your pets are regularly checked for ticks. Now, that's more in the northern states, because we don't often get that in Victoria. But make sure, if you are, maybe you're taking your pet away for a holiday up north, so ensure you're checking for ticks as well.
We keep saying this, but never leave your dog in cars, even with the windows down, because they can get into trouble very quickly.
So the only time would be if you had your air conditioner on and the car was still running.
If the dog's in the car, you should be in the car.
Exactly. That is very, very true. So there should be always someone left with them. Always walk your dog in the early morning or late evening to avoid the heat of the day if possible.
Ensure pets have easy access to shade and water throughout the day.
White dogs and cats are especially susceptible to skin cancer, so you can now get things like pet zinc. You can apply that to their ears and noses if they will be exposed to the sun for a long period of time.
And be careful with cut flowers around pets, because lilies are very poisonous to cats.
They are. So ensuring that you don't have too many of those around the house, if possible. You're on Pets Lab with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. Coming up, we're going to be looking at some dog dates and see what's happening in the world around us, in around Melbourne, for the next couple of weeks.
Made in Melbourne for Australia and the world. Joy 94.9.
This is Dog Dates, your pet's community calendar.
You're on Pets Lab with Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. Dog Dates, we've got a chip checker event coming up this weekend. If you haven't already had your pet's microchip checked as part of the National Pet ID Month. National Pet ID Month is an important initiative designed to encourage people to check their pet's microchip to make sure that their contact details are up to date. Just in case your pet does go missing and come into a shelter, it's really hard to get in touch with people and return their pet to them. This is in Frankston on Saturday the 20th of December, so that's tomorrow. It is Ballam Park in Frankston from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. and it's absolutely free. They'll just scan your pet's chip, check which register it's on, and we can ensure that your details are up to date or give you the information on how to get your pet's details up to date as well.
And our Woolworths Christmas Pet Food Appeal is back. So this is the 28th year. We are very, very thankful to Woolworths and all Woolworths customers for helping us with this. There are bins in your local store, and in previous years, shoppers have given us sort of $100,000 worth of cat and dog food, which is a great, great help. So keep an eye out for those bins. And like I say, thank you from all of us.
And don't forget, we do have our half price adoption drive, Chill Out with a Cool Cat, this summer. It is until December 31st. It's all adult cats above 6 months of age. They're available for half the usual adoption fee at our North Melbourne and Campasby shelter, also in Echuca. So you can check them out on our website at dogshome.com. They're all de-sexed, vaccinated, microchip wormed, health checked by our vets before going and being ready to go to their new homes. We have heaps
of
cats.
And lots and lots and lots of them.
We have lots of different personalities. So we've got snugglers, we've got the more independent cats, we've got a bit of everything. You're sure to find a cool cat that you can chill out with this summer. But also, our pet of the week this week was the lovely Ben.
That's right, Ben, whose ID number is 981025. He is the very unusual German Jagd Terrier, hunting terrier. He's about 5.5, 6 years old. He's at North Melbourne, so you can see him at 2 Gracie Street, North Melbourne. Contact us on 93292755. And if you want to have a look at him online, he's on the website at dogshome.com.
He is, along with all our other pets, up for adoption at the moment. From all of us here at the Lost Dogs Home and from Pets Lab, I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas and a happy holiday season if you don't celebrate Christmas as well. Ensure that your pets get in on the action, but obviously not too much.
Safely.
Safely. Exactly. Next week will be a bit of a best of, looking back at the year that was 2014 with Alan and Oz. Don't forget our pet of the week. Also, we'll be putting our links to the bushfire information on our website. Just check out our Joy program page at joy.org.au. I'm Kevin, and I will be back next year. So have a very Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. See you next year, Alan.
See you then.
Don't forget
to...
Thank you very much. I will. I'm taking the dogs across. So it'll be very interesting. Don't forget to walk your dogs
and pat your cats.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.